We have a full crowd tonight. There's a lot tonight, this morning. There's a lot of people here this morning. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Isaac Gerlain. I'm the preacher intern. I was here just for the summer, but then I was asked to stay on for the year, so I'll be here all the way till next August. And I know we have a lot of students back. I know quite a bit of you guys, not all of you. I just graduated last year from Florida College, so I know a few of you, but welcome. Quick reminder, we do have a college lunch at the Murphy's house right after this, so feel free to come to that. This morning, I'm going to start off by reading a psalm. And before I say which psalm it is, I want you just to listen to the words I'm reading and ask yourself the questions, have you felt this? Do you understand and have you felt the feeling that this psalmist is feeling in this moment? Lord, you are the God who saves me. I cry out to you day and night. Accept my prayer. Listen to my cry. My life is full of troubles. I am nearly dead. They think I am on the way to my grave. I am like a man with no strength. I have been left as dead, like a body lying in a grave. You don't remember dead people. They are cut off from your care. You have brought me close to death. I am almost in the dark place of the dead. You have been very angry with me. All your waves crush me. You have taken my friends away from me. You have made them hate me. I am trapped and cannot escape. My eyes are weak from crying. Lord, I have prayed to you every day. I have lifted my hands in prayer to you. Do you show your miracles for the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Will your love be told in the grave? Will your loyalty be told in the place of death? Will your miracles be known in the dark grave? Will your goodness be known in the land where the dead are forgotten? But Lord, I have called out to you for help. Every morning I pray to you. Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you hide from me? I have been weak and dying since I was young. I suffer from your terrors and I am helpless. You have been angry with me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me daily like a flood. They are all around me. You have taken away my loved ones and friends. Darkness is my only friend. Have you felt this before? Have you felt to the point that your life is, as verse 3 says, just full of troubles, that you just feel like you're just dying, you're just dead because of all the troubles around you? Or have you felt like in verse 8 that all your friends are gone? Your friends are taken away from you, that they hate you now, that your eyes hurt so much because of the crying that you're doing. Maybe you feel like in verse 13 that you pray to God, you pray to him every morning, but yet it feels like he's just not listening. You ask yourself, God, why do you reject me? Why are you not listening to me? To the point at verse 18 that you just feel everyone that you love, all your friends, they're gone. To the point where, as it says, darkness is my only friend. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about how when we feel alone, when we feel like we're in darkness, we are never really truly alone in that moment. There are well over 400 people in this room. And all of us have felt this way, will feel this way, or may even be feeling this way right now. And there are many different reasons to feel this way. For example, you can feel this way by death in a family, losing a friend or losing a family member. You know, I was up in Lakeland a couple weeks ago, and I was preaching about the hope of the resurrection. And this woman came up to me, and what she told me struck my heart. She told me, do you know my daughter? She said to me, Mom, I'm not scared of death. She died at 25 because of breast cancer. All the parents in this room, can you imagine burying your children? Do you think she felt that darkness? Maybe it's because of a broken relationship, divorce or a breakup. Someone that you've been married to for a long time, or someone that you thought you were going to marry, and then it's just gone. It's different than death in a family, but you still feel that darkness, that feeling alone, maybe it's because of illness. You know, in this past year, a family friend of mine, who's practically my other mother, had cancer. I remember calling her on the phone and talking to her, and she was telling me, you know, the cold, it hurts, I'm weak, I'm tired, I'm exhausted all the time. And it was hard to see that because she was a woman that is the most energetic person I know. She beat it. But in those moments, do you not think she felt that aloneness, that darkness? Maybe feeling out of place. You know, we have a whole group of new college students here. Some of them came into FC not knowing anyone, and some of them came into FC knowing a bunch of people. And we live in a world full of social media where you see everyone doing something together, but maybe you feel like you're not a part of something. Maybe you even come to church like today, and you just feel like you're just by yourself, like you're not a part of this family. You feel that aloneness, that darkness. Maybe academic pressure. Now, this was never a problem for me. School is not my thing. But a lot of time, people feel the need. They have to get that A. But on top of that, they're running all these clubs. Maybe it's academics pressure, the feeling of just keep on pushing, pushing, pushing to the point where you just feel alone, that you can't, you feel like you're just by yourself. Maybe it's depression. No matter how much prayer or help you get or medication, you just feel that void of emptiness. Maybe it's even spiritually dry. You come to church, you hear the songs, you sing the songs, you pray, you hear the sermon, and you just feel like nothing's just impacting you. You just feel dry. We see a ton of different reasons for this pain, showing us that you are not alone, that there are many reasons to feel this way. And a lot of times we want to read scripture and we see these biblical heroes that we call these faith giants, and we say to ourselves, well, they don't understand what I feel. They can't understand what I feel because God spoke to them. They saw the miracles. God's not verbally speaking to me. I'm not seeing the miracles they saw. So there's no way they can understand this feeling. But I beg to differ. Because David felt this. In Psalm 13, 1 through 4, it says, how long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide from me? How long must I worry and feel sad in my heart all day? How long will my enemy win over me? Lord, look at me. Answer me, my God. Tell me or I would die. Otherwise, my enemies will say, I have won. Those against me will rejoice that I've been defeated. David asking the question, God, how long are you going to forget me? Answer me, God. David understood that pain. Elijah, he understood this pain too. It says in 1 Kings, when Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life, taking his servant with him. When they came to Beersheba in Judah, Elijah left his servant there. Then Elijah walked for a whole day into the desert. He sat down under a bush and asked to die. I have had enough, Lord, he prayed. Let me die. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down under the tree and slept. Have you ever said that? God, I'm done. I'm done. Just let me die already. Elijah felt that. What about Paul? Paul, the guy who spread the word to the Gentiles. One of the most famous characters in the Bible. We read in 2 Corinthians, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the trouble we suffered in Asia. We had great burdens there that were beyond our own strength. We even gave up hope of living. Truly in our own hearts, we believed we would die. Paul reached a point that he just gave up. He lost hope. He thought he was going to die. And finally, Jesus, the Son of God, he felt this pain. In Matthew 26, it says, then Jesus went with his followers to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be very sad and troubled. He said to them, my heart is full of sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." Jesus' heart was filled with so much sorrow to the point of death. We all have felt this pain. We all might be feeling this pain right now. These faith giants, they felt this pain of loneliness, of darkness, of having no answers. And what I want to try to express this morning is that you are never alone in the dark. That God is with you. So the first point I want to make is that we are shaped by struggles prepared by God. Our struggles shape us. It makes us even stronger because we are being prepared by God. And a prime example of this is the life of Joseph. Joseph's story was full of struggles. We read in Genesis, since Joseph was born when his father Israel was old, Israel loved him more than his other sons. He made Joseph a special robe with long sleeves. Joseph said, "Listen to the dream I had. We were in the field, tying bundles of wheat together. My bundle stood up, and your bundles of wheat gathered around it and bowed down to it." Later on in Joseph's life, we read, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did. So Potiphar was very happy with Joseph and allowed him to be his personal servant. We see Joseph have a lot of high moments, a lot of great moments. His father loved him more than anyone else. He made him a robe, a special robe. He was blessed in Potiphar's house that he reached the point to be running Potiphar's house. He was told his future. He had a lot of great moments, a lot of highs. But then we also read, so when the Midianite traders came by, the brothers, Joseph's brothers, took Joseph out of the well and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 8 ounces of silver. And the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. So Potiphar arrested Joseph and put him into prison where the king's prisoners were put. And Joseph stayed there in the prison. Joseph named the first son Manasseh and said, God has made me forget all the troubles I have had and all my father's family. Joseph named the second son Ephraim and said, God has given me children in the land of my troubles. Well, clearly we see Joseph had a lot of bad moments too. Joseph's life was a roller coaster. A lot of highs and a lot of lows. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like things are going great, and then it just feels like it was taken away? And then it gets better, and then it's taken away again? I just have to wonder, I know I wonder, I wonder if Joseph wondered the same thing. What is the point of this? Why do you keep giving me things and then taking it away? Well, then we read in Genesis 45, it says, Joseph says, "Now don't be worried or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me here ahead of you to save the people's lives. So God sent me here ahead of you to make sure you have some descendants left on the earth, and to keep you alive in an amazing way. So it's not you who kept me alive." Sorry, the screens aren't working down here. "So it's not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me the highest officer of the king of Egypt. I am in charge of his palace, and I am the master of all the land of Egypt. You meant to hurt me, but God turned your evil into good to save the lives of many people, which is being done." Throughout all the highs, throughout all the lows, Joseph realized it served a purpose: to save his people. He had to go through all that to get to the point to save Israel. And there are plenty of verses that emphasize this point, that our troubles, our suffering is shaping us today. In Romans, it says, we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produce character, and character produce hope. In 1 Peter, this makes you very happy, even though now for a short time, different kinds of trouble may make you sad. These troubles come to prove that your faith is pure. This purity of faith is worth more than gold, which can be proved to be pure by fire, but will ruin. But the purity of your faith will bring you praise and the glory you honor when Jesus Christ is shown to you. Joseph's life shows us that through all the highs and lows of our life, through all the ups and downs, God can work through it. God can use the bad times to create a bigger purpose, a greater purpose for us. And just like Joseph, we need to have trust that he is with us every step of the way, through all the lows. Whenever you're going through life and things feel like a roller coaster up and down, you need to understand God can work through all the downs and ups. And you need to have trust that he is with you every step of the low, and that you are not alone in the dark. Second point I want to make is that in darkness, remember, God has a plan for you. You know, it's very easy whenever bad things happen to you and things aren't going the way, life is not going the way you envision it to go, we start to compare ourselves to other people. We start to say to ourselves, well, hold on, why does my journey, my story, why does it seem so rough and hard and heavy? Why does it feel like this? And these other people, their life, it just seems easy going. Well, the answer to that is because God has a plan for you. Not everybody's journey is the same. Everyone's journey is unique. An example of this is David. David, the king of Israel. See, in Acts 13, we read, it says, David did God's will during his lifetime. Then he died and was buried before his ancestors, and his body did rot in the grave. Acts 13 tells us the key words, David did God's will. Well, what was God's will for David? What was David's mission that God gave him? Well, in 2 Samuel says, you must tell my servant David, this is what the Lord All-Powerful says. I took you from the pasture and from tending the sheep and made you the leader of my people, Israel. I have been with you everywhere you have gone and have defeated your enemies for you. I'll make you as famous as any of the great people of the earth. David's mission, David's path that God created for David was to be a shepherd, was to lead Israel, and was to defeat God's enemy. And David did that so well that later in Acts we read, it says, and when he had removed Saul, when he removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified, said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who would do all my will. David did God's will so well that he was called and held the title, a man after God's own heart. That was David's journey. That was David's path. But later in David's life, we read that he wants to do something extraordinary. He wants to make a temple for God. But God says no. God said, that's not your journey. That's going to be your son Solomon. We read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. It says, then David called for his son Solomon. He told Solomon to build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to him, my son, I want to build a temple for worshiping the Lord my God. But the Lord spoke his word to me, saying, David, you have killed too many people. You have fought too many wars, so you cannot build a temple for worship to me. You have killed too many people. But you will have a son, and he will be a man of peace and rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies. Around him, his son will be Solomon. His name will be Solomon. And I will give Israel peace and quiet while he is king. Solomon will build a temple for worship to me. He will be my son, and I will be his father. I will make his kingdom strong. Someone from his family will rule Israel forever. David wanted to build a temple. He desired to build a temple, but God said, that's not your path. That's not what I have planned for you. That's what I have planned for Solomon. You ever have in your life, you plan out your life and you say, this is what I want. This is my desire. This is how I want my life to go, but maybe God has a different plan for you. We read in verse 11, it says, David then said, now my son, may the Lord be with you. May you build a temple for the Lord your God as he said you would. And we jump to verse 17. Then David ordered all the leaders of Israel to help his son Solomon. David said to them, the Lord your God is with you. He has given you rest from our enemies. He helped me to defeat the people living around us. The Lord and his people are in control of this land. Now give yourself completely to obeying the Lord your God." David and Solomon had two different paths. David's job was to lead Israel and defeat the enemies around Israel, to defeat God's enemy, and he did it. Solomon's path was to build the temple. Even though David desired to build the temple, David obeyed God, respected God, and told his son, "You are supposed to build the temple, not me." Ephesians 2 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for our good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God prepared your path. Philippians 1, "And I am sure of this, that he will begin a good work in you and will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." He will complete the path that he has planned for you. And then Psalm 139, For you formed my inward part. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." David, God created us. He formed us. He knew what our path would be. What David's life shows us is that there's no reason to compare ourselves to other people. Sure, your life might not be going the way you plan it to go, but everyone's life has that moment. Everyone has that moment in life. But God will complete his purpose in you. God will complete his faithful work in you. We read, and finally, sorry, "In darkness, remember, God has a plan for you." So far, the two points I want us to remember is that, first off, of course, God has a plan for you. No matter how much in darkness we feel that we're lost, that we feel like we just don't know what's next, that life is not going the way we plan it, well, guess what? God has a plan for you. And he will complete that plan for you. It may not be what you are wanting, but it's what you need. He has a plan for each one of us. And the second point is that through our suffering, we are being made stronger, like Joseph. Through our Joseph's suffering, it had its purpose. So what are we supposed to do with all of this? We may not see the path ahead of us. We may not know what our future holds. So what can we do about all of this darkness around us? Well, there's really only one thing we can do, and that is to stay obedient. Because obedience is the anchor in the storm of darkness. And when we're no longer obedient, we fail. In 2 Corinthians, when I read about Paul in Asia saying they were dealing with all these suffering, Paul concludes it saying, "But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Paul realized he can't handle the suffering. No matter how much he may fight it, he couldn't handle it. But it was to teach him that don't rely on yourself, but rely on God. Trust him. Stay obedient to him. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Be strong and brave. Don't be afraid of them, and don't be frightened, because the Lord your God will go with you. He will not leave you or forget you." Isaiah says, don't worry, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, because I am your God. I'll make you strong and will help you. I'll support you with my right hand that saves you. Hebrews 13, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with what you have. God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you." So we can be sure when we say, "I will not be afraid because the Lord is my helper. People can't do anything to me." God says he would never leave you. He would never abandon you through all of the darkness and the storm, through all of our troubles. he will be with you always. And a prime example of this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they're about to get thrown into the furnace. They tell Nebuchadnezzar, saying, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from the furnace. He will save us from your power, O king. But even if God does not save us, we want you, O king, to know this. We will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. They didn't know what was going to happen. They told Nebuchadnezzar, he can save us, but even if he doesn't, we are going to stay obedient. We will not bow down to your gods, to your statue. We will stay obedient. The obedience is the anchor in our storm. Obedience is what grounds us to remind us who really is with us through all our troubles, through all the darkness. Obedience sustains us through life. So we may not know what the future holds before us. Our plans may not go the way we thought it would go. We may be in pain and suffering, and we may not see how God is using this, but the only thing we can know is that obedience is the only thing that anchors us in the storm of troubles, because we are never alone in the dark. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He gives me rest in green pastures. He leads me to calm waters. He gives me new strength for the good of his name. He leads me on paths that are right, even if I walk through a very dark valley. The valley of death, I will not be afraid, because you are with me. Your rod and your walking stick comfort me. You prepare a meal for me in front of my enemies. You pour oil on my head. You give me more than I can hold. Surely your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." If you want to close your notes, one thing I like that Psalm 23 says is that even though you're walking in the valley of death, that dark valley, that storm of trouble, your rod and your staff, you are with me. You're with me. And do you know who wants us to make us feel that he is not with us? Satan. That's Satan's goal. He wants us to feel that we are truly alone in the dark. Because once we feel that way, what do? We lose obedience and we just go on sinning. You know, a lot of people leave the church because of pain and suffering, because of that darkness. And that's what Satan wants you to feel. But as Psalm 23 says, you are with me because I am not alone. You prepare my path and you will faithfully complete it. So if you feel like you are in darkness and you want help with that, we want you to come up and tell us, for that we can pray for you, that we can be there for you, so that you know that you are not alone, that you have us and that you have God. And if you want God to fulfill the story he has planned for you, that story of redemption, well, we invite you to come up and let us baptize you today, for he can complete that story. You are never alone in the dark. We invite you to come up as we stand and sing.